Welcome back to Me and Mariah, the podcast where I, Taylor, lifelong and diehard lamb, unload all of my favorite Mariah Carey memories onto my friend of over 15 years, Blake.
Hi.
Who's slowly but surely becoming a lamb herself?
Maybe.
Well, this week we're taking a weird turn. And in our last episode, I mentioned that I had just bought a copy of the February 2000 issue of Rolling Stone. The one with Mariah on the cover shot by David LaChapelle, to go with the one that I already had, the one from February 2006. So while we wait for the one that I ordered to arrive, we can have a little look-see into the one I already have. Does that make sense, lambs?
Makes sense to me.
You following? All right. I saw a TikTok yesterday about how everything cool in the early 2000s, out of all of it, nothing happened in 2006. The guy was dead set on it. And I would like to say to that kid, you're wrong. First of all, obviously this guy who made the TikTok probably wasn't alive yet in 2006 to even know what was going on. So right. What does his opinion even matter?
Yeah.
My first piece of evidence is Flavor of Love.
Good one. Yes.
You know how I feel about that show. Yes, same. I could talk till they kick us out of the studio. January 1st, 2006, where was I? I was watching the premiere episode of the greatest reality TV building block of this millennium at 9, 8 central on VH1, and don't you forget it.
Yeah, TV's not the same.
Mm-mm. And my second piece of evidence that 2006 was popping off just like the rest of the early 2000s. Well, okay, it's not really the early 2000s to me. When I hear early 2000s, I think 2000 to 2004. 2006 is just 2000s.
I think of it like through 2005, because then it's officially like early and late.
Okay,
in my head.
That's a good compromise.
So 2006 might be late 2000s, like okay. 2005 to 10.
Right, okay.
And then it's the 2010s.
The teens?
The
tens?
The tenths.
Ten.
The tens.
Well, back to my evidence about 2006. Loose, Nelly Furtado. If 2006 was anyone's year, whoa, Nelly. I mean, you had Maneater, there was Do It, and we can't forget Say It Right.
Yeah. But that was a good album.
Yeah. And Hello, Don't Tell Me that Promiscuous still doesn't get that pussy throbbing. Like, just thinking about it right now, I feel a tickle.
I throwing you off.
Nope.
Didn't think so.
That was definitely on the charts for a really long time, because I just remember watching VH1 for like a whole school year and it was always playing.
I still play it. Hasn't stopped since.
Yeah.
Well, I gave it a Google real quick to see what else was going on at this time. And 2006 was the year that Lance Bass came out of the closet. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. George Bush's vice president shot some guy in the face. Okay.
I don't remember that happening. Oh, I remember Lance Bass coming out, but it felt like now at this point, it feels like he's been out forever.
Well, we called him gay before that anyway.
Yeah.
Anna Nicole finally got all her money.
That's another person that I think is a secret genius.
I don't think it's a secret.
Oh, okay. Okay. You give her the credit.
Oh,
for,
okay. Yes. Hello.
I don't think most people do, though.
Probably not. But you know what? Most people don't give Mariah the credit they should. Hello. And okay, Mel Gibson called that cop sugar tits and blamed the Jews for getting too shit-faced before he drove home from dinner.
Oh, my God.
That was 2006.
That was the beginning of his ultimate demise.
Well, then he made that movie about Jesus. Or was that before?
Oh, that was before, I think, right?
Because well,
he pretty much got canceled after he started making racist comments.
I don't think so. He made that one apocalypse movie that was really good.
Oh, was that,
was
after 2006 too?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess I just don't keep up with Mel Gibson.
I can't even believe it.
Hold on a second. 2006.
Yeah.
I also don't believe that nothing good happened Well, a lot of things you mentioned weren't necessarily good, by the way.
Those were just things I
Those were just prominent
pop culture moments.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my idea of pop culture in 2006 is like, honestly, one of the best pop punk and emo years in history. Like, do you know how many albums came out that year?
I couldn't tell you.
Yes, you could. Don't even try. If you're listening.
Those days are over for me.
I think that some people can relate to being a part of that and transforming after. 100%. Some people leave and some don't. I never left. You did. Whatever.
Uh-huh.
So that was the year that like All Time Low's really big record came out. Cobra Starship, who we still love, actually.
Yep. I'm here for that.
Dashboard Confessional. Hello, Goodbye. My Chemical Romance, Black Parade, obviously huge, but also like Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, Seosin, who we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Taking Back Sunday, and so many more. So like 2006 for me was peak MySpace music.
I was going to say going to Hot Topic.
I still listen to a lot of those bands, not all of them. Think about how many of those bands, and I mean around that time, that have stood like the test of time.
Yeah. Like Mariah.
Like Mariah, except just, different.
Yeah, a little different.
I think she has a little emo side to her. We've heard the grunge side.
Yeah.
So.
She could do it.
Yeah.
She could make it on her own. Her heart's not just in Ohio. Well, now, if we're just basing history off of this magazine, I would say that 2006 was the year that we as humanity discovered the cinnamon flavor. Because let me tell you something. Flip through this bad boy and you're bound to come across something spicy.
Okay, I'm going to just try it.
So first up, we have an Altoids cinnamon ad. The curiously strong mint with a shirtless Indian guy walking on a pile of cinnamon Altoids like it was a trail of hot coals. Can you stand the heat?
Curiously strong.
And then hello, Dentine Fire. In case of fire, stop, drop, and roll around on the floor of the office with your coworker because that's what they're doing in the ad.
Oh, scandalous.
It's disgusting. Those carpets are dirty as hell. No, thank you. Hmm. Mm-mm. Someone get up and get the phone. And then there's an Eclipse cinnamon mint ad. They find bad breath and kill it.
Oh, wow.
See how the tin of mints is lighting a bomb, ready to throw it at that bulb of garlic?
Yeah, this is kind of bizarre, honestly.
Yeah, and then there's Big Red in the back.
You know what? There used to be so much creativity in ads.
What a time capsule.
Yeah, this is such a time capsule. And it wasn't even that long ago. How many years? Oh.
Yeah, 16 years ago, God, baby.
Damn.
I know. Look at the price.
Less than $4
for this magazine.
I think they're like $20 now or something. I swear.
I think they're like $8 now.
Verizon flip phone.
Oh, wow. And it has VCast. So you can listen to music. Remember?
Okay. And it's for the Fugees with Lauryn Hill.
I love that straight.
Yeah. Rocking a sleek bob. I love this.
Well, let's turn to page 38 to get to our girl.
Okay.
Mariah After Midnight. This was written by Jenny Alisku, by the way. I hope I said that right. The pictures were taken by Brigitte Lacombe. Look at this photo. Okay, Mariah soaked. I can't tell if it's a dress or just fabric draped over her.
It looks like fabric. Wet fabric.
I love that it is completely drenched, but look at her hair. It's perfectly fanned out and dry.
True.
This is how I imagine Mariah during sexy time. Even the pose, really, like with her legs barely up.
That's so true.
Get it while you can and where you can, Brian.
Her skin is like glistening, though. There's like droplets on her.
Bodice.
Insurance-protected legs.
Yeah. All right, so here it goes. Let's drink from fancy glasses, announces Mariah Carey, a bejeweled champagne flute in each hand as she tiptoes barefoot into the Moroccan lounge, a sitting room on the top floor of her three-story New York apartment that is decorated like a Marrakesh hash parlor, minus the hash. Okay, I'm sure there's some hash in there somewhere, Jenny. Mimi's just not sharing it with you. It's 2006. She might in 2022, if you promise not to put it in the article.
Yeah, I don't doubt that she's partaked. Partaken?
Partaken. Partooked.
She partook. She partake. She's partaken. She's partaked. I don't doubt that she's dabbled in a little herbal healing throughout the years.
She sets the flute down on a table alongside the less festive glasses from which we'd already been drinking and then reassumes her position curled up in the corner of the couch. Her personal assistant brings in a tray that carries a large bottle of water for Mariah and a can of Diet Coke for me, and she hands each of us a small linen napkin. It's past midnight, and Mariah doesn't usually allow herself caffeine at this hour because she's an insomniac and has a very low tolerance for things that make you speedy, in quotes.
Huh.
Still, she asks if I mind sharing a splash of my Diet Coke, reasoning that she's in an awake moment anyway. That's like me saying I'm not hungry and then wanting a bite of your food once it's made.
It's true.
Like, that's what happens.
Like, she doesn't want to admit or she doesn't want to be the one, like, initiating, but she wants to still enjoy it.
I mean,
whatever it is.
Right. Maybe less guilt on me. If it's not mine, it's yours.
Yeah.
Calories don't count if I'm eating them through you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Well, among her assorted Mariah-isms, the concept of moments looms large. In the course of the evening, she refers to precisely 49 different kinds.
All my moments are like this. These are my moments, whether they seem off camera to anybody else.
Analytic moments, schmaltz moments, fairy tale moments, complete truth moments, celebratory moments, biblical moments, and yes, diva moments.
Wait, what's a schmaltz moment?
We don't know.
And then what's a complete truth moment? Because if there's a complete truth moment, that means other moments are not completely true.
Maybe you don't have to be completely truthful all the time.
Or maybe it's just like a really candid, transparent moment. That's what complete truth
probably
moments are.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of moments.
I know. In 2001, following an embarrassing TRL moment, Mariah says she had her share of bleak moments and even a couple of woe is me moments. Her favorite canary-colored bathing suit from when she was 9, she says, was a clingy to the body moment. Pictured here. We've all seen that picture, I think. The lambs know what picture it is.
It's so cute.
As is her current ensemble, painted on jeans and an itty-bitty white tank top with the number 17 ironed on the front in bold black digits. 17, no doubt, as in how many number one singles Mariah has amassed in the past decade and a half. This interview was after Mariah had just scored her 17th number one single, Don't Forget About Us. Do you remember that song?
Nope.
Well, it tied her with Elvis, only behind the Beatles, for the most number one singles on Billboard.
Really?
Yeah, both overrated. So she's obviously in first place in my eyes. I mean, she's always in first place in my eyes, I guess. But she had just had the number one album from the previous year from this. And she just broke her own record from the 90s with the longest number one single, We Belong Together. So she was on top of her game during this.
Yeah, peak Mariah moments.
Right.
It's been amazing. It's really been a blessing. It's been incredible years.
So Mariah says, people ask me, isn't this the vindication of Mariah Carey? Not really, because my whole life has been a series of overcoming obstacles since I've always had to struggle. I've always expected that I will have to struggle. And then there's a quote from L.A. Reid that says, she's on the third chapter of her career. The first chapter had major successes. The second chapter had some major disappointments. Now she's at the point where she has the wherewithal to stay in the game for as long as it takes to withstand the ups and downs. It's like Muhammad Ali or Frank Sinatra. And I think her fans have a real love for her because she has had those ups and downs and she's still here. That's true.
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting to hear her self-reflect on it. And it just like always makes me think, like, if she's so aware that she's constantly overcoming over and over and over again, like, I think it's in her head more than anything at this point. And I think she still really feels like that. She still feels like she's always gonna have to like claw her way out of something and prove herself. And that's probably what's made her so successful and dedicated.
You're right.
Even if like her past is in the past, that mentality is always gonna be there.
The underdog mentality.
Yeah.
Well, Mariah arrives characteristically late for dinner at a Brazilian restaurant around the corner from her apartment, but she is also characteristically apologetic about it. Affecting
like me.
Yeah, actually.
I'm always late and really apologetic.
Schmaltzy moments.
Schmaltzy, is that it?
Maybe. Hey. Maybe that's what it is.
Schmaltz.
Right. Now we in a hurry. Suddenly.
Affecting exaggerated fabulosity, she purrs, sorry, darling, the pedicurist fell on her orange stick. Stitches were required. And then without missing a beat, what are we drinking? Wine? Vodka has fewer calories. All right, you twisted my arm. I'll have a glass of wine. Okay, let's stop right there. That was a lot. I'm getting dizzy from that.
What?
Orange stick?
Yeah, what happened?
What's a orange stick? I've never had a pedicure. Can you explain what an orange stick is?
I'm assuming she's talking about the cuticle pusher that has like a really sharp end.
Oh, and one she end fell on it?
That doesn't really make sense though.
Maybe she was tickling Mariah's feet. Mariah kicked and she kicked her on it.
Or she was holding it in her hand and she reached over
it.
And then fell. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. And she was so casual about it.
Yeah. And does wine have a lot of calories?
It does. Yeah.
My mom drinks vodka for dinner sometimes when she's watching her weight.
Yeah. Vodka's, yeah.
Lower. Anyways, let's read on. Tonight is the singer's last night of indulgence before her personal trainer comes back on duty to whip her into shape for the Grammys. She's especially concerned about looking her best because of the jab she took about the low-cut black number she wore a week earlier at the Golden Globes.
Now this is Chanel Couture. Mr. Karl Lagerfeld sketched it for me on the way back from a TV show in Paris. We love him. And he's the best.
We love him. Did he do fittings on that if it's couture?
He did.
Mariah?
Of course. No, he's my favorite person.
He's totally the most wonderful
possibly
guy
in the world, yeah.
The winner for the too tight dress goes to Mariah Carey, wrote one critic. She takes the cake and eats it too, said another. Carey, according to my 7-year-old, blew up like a truck tire. These are the critics about
the
outfit. I would like to say she looked good. The front was ugly. Here, I'll show you a picture.
I want to see. Oh, that is low cut.
Yeah, I think she looks good. And this is Mariah's response. She says, satin is very unforgiving, is a very unforgiving fabric. And what was I going to do? Call freaking Karl Lagerfeld and say, can you please make it out of matte jersey instead? Of course, Mariah is used to having her outfits panned. She often, let's face it, wears clothes tighter, tinier, and generally more hooched out than most 35-year-old women.
I want to show my body in a dress. I'm going to show it.
What? This is the reporter saying that?
Yeah. You thought I was saying that?
I couldn't tell.
Oh. I hate that she even has to answer about why people thought she looked bigger. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No. First of all, she looked great. Second of all, the reporter saying she, like, often wears more hooched out bowl. I don't think that's true at all.
I didn't either. Even for the time, I don't think so.
Do you think this is one of those cases of, like, when someone's, like, super tiny and they wear something revealing, it doesn't attract the same kind of attention as when someone's like even slightly curvy?
I think so. And I think that that's what she's...
Because if she had no boobs, then yeah, people wouldn't say anything about it being low cut.
Well, if we read on, it says, still, though not a Zellwegerian stick figure by any stretch of the Matt jersey, Mariah is considerably leaner than you might expect.
Zellweger?
Yeah. Not so much full figured as sturdy. She says she has always tended to be muscular and notes that in seventh grade she beat every boy in her class at arm wrestling. Okay, sturdy is not an adjective that I would think to call a woman or someone like feminine presenting, yeah, if I was trying to compliment them. So I don't like that.
No. Why not just strong?
Mariah said, I can't try to compete with people that weigh 80 pounds soaking wet when look, I'm ethnic. I've got a butt and I want to keep it because I like it. Yeah, it grows and it shrinks and it grows. And that's what it does. I can hear her say that. I'm going to pull it together and be as thin as I can be for the Grammys. But there's only a certain amount of weight that I want to lose. The weight obsessed workout monger is not my role model as a singer.
Yes.
They might be pop stars and icons, but they're not necessarily what I like to call sanger. They ain't sanging. Tell them, girl.
There's just so many more interesting things than her body to talk about. That's what always gets me about any interview ever.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the least interesting thing about your career.
Yeah.
Why is this a focus?
And then it says, Mariah's big voice may be her greatest source of pride. Mm-hmm. It is, in her words, her instrument. But she is equally keen to be known as one of the few pop stars who has had a hand in writing and or production of nearly every song she's ever recorded. Mm-hmm. Even from the beginning, I said, if you want to put me with people to write with and collaborate, that's fine, but don't try to force me to record someone else's song. I'm not saying I'm freaking William Shakespeare, but even writing a melody, it's a release and I really need to express myself. There we go. Now we're talking.
That's more interesting instantly.
She should just walk around with a pencil tucked behind one ear so that we all know that she writes her own songs. Because apparently even in 2022, she still needs to tell people this. She says, she mentions it in every interview.
I didn't know until you started educating me.
Yeah. I mean, she's had this record skipping for 20 years.
Yeah.
I write my own songs. I produce my own records.
Most people didn't realize I write my own songs. To this day, a lot of people don't.
I'm constantly writing. I can write pop songs. I was just a singer and a writer.
I sort of felt the desire to want to write and to want to be a singer-songwriter.
I hope to bring it back to real singer-songwriter category. I just thought of myself as, you know, a singer-songwriter.
As a songwriter and a singer, which is, you know, I've co-written all the songs on my debut album.
I do a regular studio album and I'm writing and producing every song.
I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm just really trying to have a long career as a singer-songwriter.
I almost consider myself more of a songwriter than a singer.
Writing for me is almost more important than singing.
But I really love writing almost as much as I love to sing.
Really, the writing to me is, you know, more than half of what I do, so.
I mean, the songwriting was hugely important too, but I don't think even today people recognize that.
I really don't know where I would be if I didn't have the ability to write songs.
Everything is selective. People don't hear everything at once, and yeah, if they don't keep up, then
you've got to really beat the nail into the coffin.
Yeah. Also, because I just think it's so common to not be the sole writer or the primary writer on
true
your music.
Beyonce.
That it's like, and so many others. Yeah. Like almost everybody. Everyone in the industry.
Yeah.
So it's like, It is one of her pride and joys. Yeah. Makes sense.
Of course, there was a time when expressing herself was an uphill battle for Mariah. They laughed at me at the label when I played them Fantasy Remix with ODB, she says. They, one person, Tommy, was like, what the hell is this? I could do that. But you can't explain to someone who didn't grow up on hip hop and who's wanting to listen to the Goodfellas soundtrack exclusively that this is hot and this will be a classic. Okay. We love the Tommy shade before she was comfortable doing that, because she used to be polite about him. And like,
she's
not really,
scared.
Oh, definitely.
She was terrified.
And she was, yeah, she didn't really like to trash talk him, mm-hmm, until recently, where she started being like, you know what, fuck it. So this is one of the first times where she's kind of, but she didn't name him. She didn't say, we all know, but you know, she still was around it. Now she'll say, who she's talking about. Anyway, it's not Mariah's style to name names. Oh, well, here we go. Whether she's dishing about a certain female artist who got skinny with the help of illegal pharmaceuticals, or whether she's referring less than obliquely to her ex-husband, former Sony Music chief Tommy Mottola. As is well known by now, Mariah was miserable in that relationship, which she calls abusive, and one that purposely preyed on every insecurity I have. I need to know who the female artist is. I bet it was Britney Spears.
She's a nice girl.
Because this is 2006. We know what Britney was doing at that time. Pharmaceuticals. And this is when it started to unravel. And we'll leave it at that.
It could be.
Because she's talking about a certain nameless female artist who got skinny. This at all. I know. Anyways, back to the article. Things get a little awkward when you're dealing with someone who's obsessed and angry and powerful. Leaving him was one of the toughest things I've ever done. It's very easy to manipulate someone when you're 20 plus years older than them. Whatever. I'm not placing blame. Nobody held a gun to my head. She pauses and smiles. At least I don't think anybody held a gun to my head.
Oh, Mariah.
Oh, Mafia Tommy.
I have a question.
What?
Do you think it was like a kind of a big deal that she was at the cover of Rolling Stone at this time?
This was her third cover.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that it's a big deal that she made it onto Rolling Stone cover three times then? Because it's so historically not really pop.
Well, if you think about it, the covers are kind of iconic for these kind of artists. Mm-hmm. You got the Britney one where she was laying on the bed with the Teletubby in her bra when she was like 16. You had the one where her titties were out, covered by her husband's hands. You have the Christina Aguilera one where she's naked holding the guitar when she got dirty.
I guess there are a lot of pop artists on Rolling Stone.
It's like I don't know, they always show Jessica Simpson pushing the Swiffer.
She made it on the cover of Rolling Stone?
Yeah, in the tank top and underwear pushing the Swiffer.
I guess I know nothing about this.
It's like a sexy moment for these pop girls to show off.
I just so associated it more with like
a rock band.
Rock, indie, and like, yeah.
Yeah.
More of like
you too.
Exactly. Yeah. More of like not, how do I explain this? More, not that these people are not the greats. That's not the right way to explain this. But it's like the people that span across multiple demographics, ages, so on.
Right, generations.
Like, yeah, generations. Yeah, I see like what you more mean. Of those like historical classics.
Mariah is one
she
of those.
She definitely, yeah, she does apply. I did not know Jessica Simpson made the cover.
Yeah, before this one probably a couple for years before this. I mean, just for the celebrity of it, probably.
She's not even real.
But I mean, it was during her reality moment when she came out with that one CD that was good. Nothing but a t-shirt.
That's one song that was so good. Beautiful.
That's the only song I can remember, actually, now that we're saying that. Well, anyway, the story goes on to then kind of like sum up the first section of Mariah's memoir. So information in here in the article is kind of related to that. It's like not as great in detail, obviously, but it covers the basics, like her dad and his passing, her mom, but only the good stuff. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that she was a snake yet. And they even touch on the snaky sister too, but Mariah says that they're both legally constrained from providing details on their tussle. So they aren't allowed to publicly talk about each other. That obviously has expired since Mariah came out with her book. I'm sorry, Allison.
Right.
One part of the book that doesn't match up though in here is where she says that her mom's friend said that if she made it, it would be a miracle. Because in her book, it's a cop that is arresting her brother from a tussle with his mom at their house when she's a kid that says it. So I don't know if she changed that detail just because it was 2020, BLM, it was a big thing. She wanted a cop to tie the two stories together. Because you know how that's not necessarily lying.
No.
It's just it's a combining two memories and putting it together for the sake of a story, you know? So I don't know which is true, and it really doesn't matter.
I mean, it's possible that she just doesn't remember exactly
who it was.
Yeah, she might not remember super clearly. Maybe something developed down the line, like she remembered it differently at some point.
Or she maybe, I also thought maybe she just didn't feel comfortable in this article giving out that information.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be anything.
And she had like so much trauma that like a lot of things are probably really hazy for her.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
We won't call her a liar.
Oh no, I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't even saying that. It's just
I know.
Indiscrepancies.
Yeah.
So whoever said it, she said, it was a defining moment for me because you know what? I believe in miracles. I think I must have been having spiritual arnica injections to get, I don't know what that means.
What? Spiritual? Arnica is do you know what arnica is?
I know what arnica is.
So she's saying spiritual arnica?
Injections to get through all the mess I've been through.
Spiritual healing.
And not be a completely bitter, angry human being.
That is one way to say it.
Another thing that I don't think was in her memoir, though, was this last line here that says, Patricia Carey gave birth to 7 10-pound baby girl at 7:27 a.m. on March 27th, 1970. Okay, so right there, anybody questioning that if she was born in 1969 or 1970, we know it was 1970 for sure. But the 7:27 a.m. thing, though, that was like a refresh on information that I didn't know that I was sitting on because I've had this magazine for 16 years. So, of course, I looked up her full chart. So, should we get into that really quick?
Yes.
I just think I'm a human being that's trying to live like everybody else. I don't know what I am other than a person.
Okay, so her sun sign is obviously Aries. We knew that. Her moon.
I actually don't know if I probably knew that a little
March
bit.
27th.
I knew that a little bit.
Her moon is a Scorpio.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And her rising is Taurus.
Oh, wow.
So tell me what you know about that, because I know nothing.
Let me like absorb this info really quick. Okay. So first of all, I'm instantly thinking of like how it relates to you specifically.
That's what I want to know.
Like, and it makes sense that you're so attracted to your personality, Aries, and you being Sagittarius.
Well,
like,
and my moon is Aries.
You're like fascinated by the Aries, like they keep you on your toes. If you have a rising or a moon sign, then you're going to be even more complimentary. But basically, her Aries sun makes total sense. Again, I think I knew this because I tied it to like her being like, she has this flair. That is so Aries. The flair, she's not afraid of confrontation. Some people think of it as like being really assertive, maybe even abrasive.
Okay.
But really it's just direct. It's confidence. It's ambition. Her Scorpio moon, she's loyal. That makes sense for like her love of fans and her loved ones and her like inner circle.
Okay.
Scorpios in their moon, they take on only some of the characteristics versus if it was in their sun. So like they can be emotional. There's definitely some ups and downs. Up and down.
Okay.
Kind of like a little unregulated, we'll say. And then power. So much power. And then her Taurus, that's what keeps her grounded. There's that like motherly, warm, grounded energy that finally comes in because the other stuff is just like in your face, all over the place, super a lot. But her Taurus is what keeps her grounded in her rising. But Taurus can also be kind of mysterious and reserved. So maybe that's why she has this like duality or even like more than two versions of herself that she shows.
Yeah.
Hey, do a few characters while I'm at it.
But what's interesting is in a lot of these, Aries, Scorpio, and Taurus, super creative. Very, very creative. And then for Taurus too, like super into aesthetics. That's where maybe some of her like the looks come from. And then her Aries on top of it. Are you kidding me? So that's her little breakdown. But we should do a full episode on like someone with
the knowledge, the power.
Knowledge more than me to dissect her birth chart.
I would
and give
that.
Us a full reading.
Yes.
A birth chart reading for Mariah Carey.
Yes.
Let's do that.
And maybe like a compatibility with me.
Yeah, compatibility.
I would love that.
I love that too.
Well, let's set that up.
Okay.
But moving back to the magazine, another frequent Mariah-ism. She's always saying how she's eternally 12, which could explain why she sometimes dresses like a preteen who happened upon a Fredericks of Hollywood catalog.
Technically, I'm eternally 12 because it's from within.
There is even something vaguely adolescent about her diva-ishness when she requests that the waiter not place her meat on the same plate as her heart's a palm. It's almost like something she imagines a pretty princess would have done. Okay, red flag. People who can't have their food touching, I know it's the opposite, but it gives me the same energy as ketchup in macaroni and cheese.
Wait, I love ketchup and macaroni and cheese.
Well, Kraft macaroni and cheese with some Heinz ketchup, maybe some hot dog chunks for color. That's what that is to me.
I don't get the separating food thing.
It's weird.
But ketchup is good with mac and cheese and grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese
it
I'm
really
into.
Is.
Tomato soup.
Same idea.
Okay, well,
whatever.
I guess I won't
Open
knock
your
it
mind.
Till I try it. With the exception of the dark and masculine Moroccan lounge, inspired by a trip Mariah took to Morocco with her ex-boyfriend, Latin singer Luis Miguel, we've talked about him, her apartment too looks like it was decorated by a teenager run amok at Laura Ashley, with flowery prints and crystal sconces. Okay, we had a whole opinion on the decoration of the apartment too in our episode of Cribs, remember?
Yeah, this sure did.
It's got to be a reference to the room that had the wallpaper that matched the bedding, that matched the curtains, that matched the headboard.
The everything fabric room, because the fabric was on everything.
Everything. Her Jack Russell Terrier Jack even has his own miniature velvet sofa to sleep on. She loves Hello Kitty just as much at 35 as she did at 12. Only difference is now she's got one of four bathrooms in her luxe home decked out with an overwhelming array of Hello Kitty merchandise. There's also the Marilyn Monroe bathroom, the butterfly bathroom, and her own personal bathroom where she soaks in a giant tub as part of her pre-bedtime wind-down routine. Okay, so it looks like the only bathroom that we haven't seen of the place was the Marilyn Monroe bathroom because we saw the other three. My mom has an I Love Lucy bathroom. She's had one in every house that we've ever lived in.
It has to be a generational thing because my mom loved I Love Lucy too.
I don't know.
And Marilyn Monroe, actually. Yeah.
My mom's is Barbie, like the classic 50s Barbie, and then Lucy.
Interesting.
Which they kind of have similar face structures kinda, if you think about it. So back to the article. Occasionally on her rare nights off, she'll hit the clubs with Sean, her nephew, or Jermaine Dupri or DJ Clue or her girlfriends Rachel and Jasmine. But since the smoke bothers her, she's more likely to invite friends over to watch her favorite DVDs, Mean Girls, Zoolanders, and 13 Going on 30 in her mermaid-themed living room. I wonder if she's seen The Mummy.
Those are all good. Why?
I don't know. That's my favorite movie.
If ever?
I mean, off the top of my head, like if somebody's like, what's your favorite movie? I'm going to say The Mummy. I'm going to say Glitter or The Mummy.
Oh my God. Weirdo.
Whatever. 12 is significant for another reason. I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that I'm not 16, she continues, lowering her voice the way she tends to do whenever the subject of sex or anything remotely related to sex comes up. Because 16-year-olds are sexually active and promiscuous. I guess because I have a family member who had a baby at 15, Allison. I definitely see myself as younger than that. In my mind, I thought 15 was old. When I was that age, most of my friends were having sex, but even if I had boyfriends, it was like, I'm going on to bigger and better things, and I'm not going to potentially screw up my life. At 12, I was also like a grown-up too because I've been a caretaker since an early age. Oof, that's a lot. I never thought of a 16-year-old as promiscuous. There was like maybe one or two. I mean, we all were fucking around, but I don't think... I don't know. That seems a little rough.
I have a lot to... I don't know what to say in this situation because I definitely knew some promiscuous teenagers.
Taking care of others, Mariah's friends will tell you, ranks first in her mind ahead of taking care of herself, and that ultimately is what she says led to her infamous breakdown in 2001. Mariah refutes the idea that she was ever that bad off. Honestly, even my therapist, who's a genius and knows what he's talking about, was like, you did not have a breakdown. You had a diva moment of exhaustion and a physical moment when your body couldn't take it and it got you pissed off. Okay, where do I sign up to that therapy session?
Yeah, I like
session?
The way that was described.
Tell me what I want to hear, mama.
Yeah.
Though we have our festive glasses in hand, the festive Mariah disappears and her chin starts to quiver. I have so much gratitude about where I'm at personally and professionally that I don't think I've even expressed it to anybody fully because it's a teardrop moment. She says shakily. It's not even a teardrop moment. It's a well of tears moment. You think I don't get down on my knees and thank God for every single thing that I have? I could have been somewhere in a gutter the way my life was going at 12. I could have been dead. I could have had a disease. I was in some very dangerous situations, and it's only by the grace of God that I survived. People can say whatever they want, but ultimately I'm the same person I was before I became famous. I'm still the girl in the pictures on the wall downstairs in the yellow bikini. I wasn't anybody in the world back then. I was a little interracial child with a dysfunctional family, and I still am. Except I have money now. She lets out a low husky giggle, and that helps.
I love that.
I know, I love that too.
Because at the end of the day, when she goes and takes off her silk robe and sits down in that big tub, she is still that same 12-year-old.
No matter what, we're all the same as we once were.
And I never realized that as a kid.
No, never.
I always thought there was going to be one day where it just...
transformation over and over and over again.
Something is just going to switch and I'm going to be... And it's like, oh, no, baby. It's all metamorphosis.
Yeah. Hence the butterflies.
Spread your wings and prepare to fly. Well, I liked that. That was fun reading through this together. Maybe we can do this more often where we can take like an old clip of her and go through it and dissect it like this.
So many different types of media. We could do video. We could do,
I like
recording.
Well, next week is Valentine's Day.
Oh my gosh, I know. And my birthday.
Oh, well, Two days after I didn't know that. If you wanted to like put that out here.
Whatever.
Well, so how about I show you what I think are the 10 best breakup songs in Mariah's catalog next week?
Since the episode comes out
after Valentine's Day, so you know no one will need to hear any more love songs.
Yeah. So if you're feeling upset for some reason, wallow with us.
Yeah, or they'll be sore and upset about their decisions they made the night before. You know, if it's not in your chili hole, then the tip of your tongue will be. Whatever. See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
And let you know that I love you, appreciate you, and enjoy you, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.